This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Florida makes the long change, breaking free as Draisaitl to the net, score! Leon Draisaitl has tied the series with his fourth OT winner in the playoffs. Final score, Edmonton 5, Florida 4, in overtime!
Oh, wow. That is courtesy of Oilers Radio Network. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie is out again today, but Andrew Bogish is in. It's a planned day. Maggie is fine. And more importantly,
Maggie... We don't know where she is, but she's fine.
We don't know where she is. Parts unknown. But more importantly for Maggie, her drought buster take of the year, self-proclaimed take of the year, that this is the year of the drought busting, is alive. But it looked like Edmonton was about to go down 3-1, Bogues. And then they came back. I was following the game on social media.
Overtime!
There should have been yellow police tape around social media last night as Edmonton fell behind 3-0. People were so mad at Edmonton because I think a lot of neutral fans want a new champion, want to see Connor McDavid take the next step. So it looked over. I mean, I thought it was over. And then Edmonton with the historic comeback to almost, and then the cardiac cats came back at the end of the regulation, forced overtime, Leon Draisaitl with the game winner. This is high drama. This series is nuts.
And this is the drought that needs to be busted to make this Maggie take be the take of the year. This is the drought, the Canadian Cup drought that dates back to the Canadiens in 93. This is the one that has the heft, that has the historical significance. We can nitpick on, you know, first titles for the Pacers or the Thunder or whatever, Rory McIlroy, soccer, UConn women's basketball. This is a drought. This is a national embarrassment for Canada. If you're out there saying that 2025 is the year of slump busters, of drought busting, you need the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup. You need this drought to end. And it did not look good after 20 minutes last night. They were atrocious once again in terms of discipline, the Oilers were. They had to change goalies. It could have been 4 or 5-0, not just 3-0 after 20. And then somehow they recover and win the game. And the drought busting is still very much in play.
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs breaking the curse of the Billy Goat, that's a little bigger. I don't know.
Oh, it's a little bigger, but yeah. As we sit here and Maggie begs for this to happen and hopes that it happens and attaches her entire reputation to this happening, we're nitpicking. We're grasping at straws for actual droughts to be busted. There is no nitpicking with the Oilers and Canada. The Canada Cup drought is on the list of all-time droughts.
Hey!
Since Maggie's not here, can we talk about her behind her back?
Of course.
Although I know she's listening. I talked to her yesterday. She listened to the whole show.
She's listening right now?
She will go back and listen on the podcast, which you can find on your
favorite podcast feed. And that's another conversation that we should have later on, that she needs help.
So I have a question.
Uh-oh.
Is this really a take? A take is like LeBron isn't the number two player and it's really Kareem. That's a take. A take is that Tom Brady was the key to the Patriots dynasty, not Bill Belichick. Calling it the year of the drought buster, is that a take?
Well, I guess it's a take when like half a drought was busted and you declared this the year of the drought busting. It's an early call.
It's an early call. It's I argue a lot about this with people. What's the difference between a prediction and a take? Like saying the Pacers are going to win the series is not a take. That's a prediction.
Yeah, but that's a take as well.
They're up 2-1. Why is that
no,
a hot
but if
take?
You, no, if you said it before the series when folks were going, maybe they're going to get the four games.
If you said it before
the
series.
Pacers in seven. That's a take and a prediction.
Okay. All right. So we'll give Maggie take of the year, still alive. So you were watching the game. Did you think it was over?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, I just, I didn't. First of all, the crazy stat that now has changed twice in this series, the Panthers, under Paul Maurice, their head coach, they hadn't lost a playoff game. They were 31-0 when they had a lead after either the first or the second period. Mm-hmm. And now they've lost two games in this series in that scenario, blowing a lead that they had after the first or second. Last night, 3-0 after one, and they lose 5-4 in overtime. So, but they still felt kind of impenetrable. It was in their building. The Oilers, the way they played too in that first period, they did all of the things that led to them getting blown out in game three that they promised they were not going to do again in game four, in particular take penalties, and they took three of them in the first period. It led to two power play goals, and then it's 3-0. So it looked like they were out of the series going up against a team that's really good at killing you in a series. So, yeah, I thought it was done. I thought it was going to be 3-1, and you're wondering, can they do... Last year, remember, it was 3-0, and Edmonton forced game seven. So I was thinking, like, do they have a comeback like that in them again this year? But instead, they had the comeback in last night in and of itself, and now we've got a 2-2 series.
It's so hard to get over that final hump. Carlos Alcaraz, we saw it in the French Open, to broaden this out, Sinner just could not put him away. It felt like the Oilers are... refusing to die in this series. I don't know what the odds say right now. I bet you it's about a pick 'em in this series.
Well, they've got extra home games now, so they should be a little bit
right now. But Florida just blew it at home, so I don't even know what that means. And it makes me think of the NBA Finals. Can the Pacers, if they get the Thunder on the rope, are they going to be able to deliver that knockout blow? Because the way the NBA playoffs have gone, you know, you could be up by 10 points with a minute and a half left and lose the game. We haven't seen the Thunder necessarily do that. The Pacers have been the come-from-behind team. But if you look at the NBA Finals, do you think that the Pacers, who are up now 2-1, can finish this thing?
As every second ticks off the clock, I gain more and more confidence in the Pacers actually finishing this and winning this series.
Okay. All right, let's go. A little momentum.
And to your specific point here, they seem to live in this like blissful ignorance, right? They just play. The score doesn't matter. The situation doesn't matter. The location doesn't matter. They just play. And sometimes it does not work. Sometimes the secondary and third level people don't step up, whether it's Obi Toppin or TJ McConnell or Benedict Mathurin, or sometimes they have 27 points in 22 minutes and 10 points and 5 assists and 5 steals and follow dunks and 3-pointers, and they win a game. And they can win from wire to wire. They can steal a game that seemed mathematically out of their reach based on time and score. So it just, they seem almost oblivious to pressure and underdog and whatever. And that's a huge part to me of why they are in this series to begin with and why they have found themselves up 2-1 right now. Because they should not have won game one. They were lucky to win game one, and then playing from behind in game three at home, they find a way to win that one as well with a different method to get to that finish line. They're just in this spot right now that most of us thought the Thunder were good enough to stop, but they haven't, and now they're playing from behind, and they're basically in a must-win game. OKC is tonight.
Right. I think that people thought the Thunder were so good that...
The Pacers stuff didn't matter.
The Pacers weren't going to be able to come back like they did. I was watching game one, and I was texting with one of my NBA friends who's like, you know what? The Thunder are too good to let happen to them what happened to the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Turns out they're not. I watched the Game 3 again last night. The NBA TV was re-showing it. I can't believe the Thunder were so shocked by the full court pressure. They had no idea. They had just done the same thing where they picked up Anthony Edwards full court in the Western Conference Finals and shut the T-Wolves down. So then the Pacers, after mysteriously not doing it in game one or two, decided to pick up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander full court. The average, I heard this on ESPN, was 65 feet away from the rim. They started picking him up.
Yeah.
And the Thunder were like, whoa, what's this? ESPN also was on my side. The inbounds passes that were picked off were unprecedented. Unprecedented for an NBA Finals game. Would have been shocking in a college game. Would have been shocking in a high school game. They weren't even, there was no organized full court press. Kayson Wallace just wasn't looking when he inbounded the pass. They just were not ready for the pressure because the Pacers, were they doing rope-a-dope in game one and two? They upped the pressure tremendously, and the Thunder had no adjustment. They just weren't ready for that at all in game three. I'm curious if they can make the right adjustments for game four.
Yeah, so in their defense, right, the Thunder, they were in the almost the same exact situation in round two against the Nuggets.
Yep.
They blew game one, they won game two, and then they lost game three in Denver. And they won game four. And then it took seven to get to the finish line in that series. But they recover from two, and the path to down 2-1 is almost the same exact thing. So they've been here before. But then that makes me wonder, why are they here again? Why didn't they learn their lesson in round two and go, okay, we can't let that happen again. Not let game slip on our home floor. Not lose a tight game three on the road. How are they in this position two rounds later when the stakes are that much higher? And my problem with, or my hesitation with what you're saying now and what you were saying yesterday is, it seems like a very significant thing to say against the Thunder that they just didn't show up, didn't care, didn't compete in game three of the finals. That's a heavy accusation.
Well, listen,
it's easier and nicer to say the Pacers were just better than them in game three, they didn't have the correct reaction to it.
Oh, but read the headlines. I saw an article by Barry Trammell calling it a low-effort, sloppy loss. Low effort in the NBA Finals?
Yeah.
And there's no doubt they looked like they were half asleep.
But now, they were winning going into the fourth quarter.
What's that?
But they were winning going into the fourth quarter.
That's because Jalen Williams and SGA hit a bunch of tough shots. They weren't getting the loose balls. Their role players were not playing well. The bench got destroyed. They were winning going into the fourth quarter, but you knew that the Pacers had the run coming in them. It's the thing about the Nuggets series, they were down 2-1, but we knew the Nuggets were going to wear down in that series. They did not have a lot of depth. Pacers are the opposite. They have tons of depth. The Thunder don't have that depth advantage anymore. I think Mark Daigneault really panicked in game three. He turned away from Aaron Wiggins. He turned away from his bench. He didn't have faith in them, so his starters were playing more minutes than they're used to and did not really have the energy at the end. He has to make major adjustments. This is going to come down to coaching. And if that's the case, it's pretty obvious who has the advantage.
So let's go to that. I'm glad you brought up the fatigue part of this, because they showed it on TV two nights ago with SGA bent over in the lane, hands on his bottom of his shorts, like all the telltale exhausted signs. And you mentioned the stat, but I cannot believe that. I know we track everything. I cannot believe that they're tracking when dudes get picked up to tell me they were guarding him from 65 feet out. And that was the farthest anyone had guarded him in any game this season.
Yep.
No one had picked him up earlier than that at any point in the regular season. I can't believe that we know that.
I can't believe they hadn't done it from game one on, but please.
Yes,
go ahead.
Absolutely. But so what I don't understand is about the, and I usually have a lot of sympathy for this because I know what it takes to get to the end, but they're coming off a week break in between the Western Conference Final and game one of this series, and they had the extra day. And it's not huge travel from OKC to Indiana. The extra day as well before game three. And they still were exhausted long before the end of the fourth quarter. I mean, SGA was gassed with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So here's me, I guess, dismissing the Pacer energy and their effort. But I was a little surprised that they were that physically broken down in that game, based on the fact that they've had some built-in places to get healthy and get rested in this postseason.
They had two days between games.
And a huge week before game one.
It was nuts. It's not like it's high altitude in Indy. Young teams, I think EJ predicted this, some sort of young teams play poorly on the road. The role players play poorly on the road, and that's exactly what played out. We'll see if they can make adjustments. Okay, I have a trade idea to help the Thunder.
Within the series?
It's past the trade deadline.
No, they can't make a trade right now. They can't pick off someone off the couch. No,
Tom Thibodeau's available.
I'm already ready to panic as a franchise.
So you've already fast forwarded them losing this series into the offseason, looking to now reset things because of this failure.
I don't think the series is over by any means. And listen, I predicted the Thunder to win this relatively easily. I was clearly wrong.
I thought I was being nice and very respectful by saying Thunder in six. I thought giving the Pacers two wins was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
And then they're up 2-1.
Yeah. I mean, it still could be Thunder in six or seven. Yeah. Possible. Seems unlikely that the Thunder are going to go be able to clinch it in Indy, even if they do get the advantage in the series. But I'll admit, panic has set in, and I have a trade. There is one player on the Thunder that I would dangle if they lose a series. I'm telling you, if they lose it, say Pacers win in six, I am on the phone the next day and getting rid of this player. I'll share that next. Maggie and Perloff Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Maggie is out today. Andrew Bogus is in the big chair. Okay, folks, let's do a hypothetical. This series is far from over. The NBA Finals. Pacers up 2-1. Long way to go. Oklahoma City Thunder still, I believe, the Vegas favorite in this series.
But
I predicted the Thunder would win rather easily, and it's not happening. I think the Pacers have a great chance here. Let's fast forward. Say Oklahoma City falters, loses the series. They have all this draft capital. There's going to be a heavy trade season in the NBA. The Thunder can pretty much get involved in anything they want. They have more picks than pretty much any franchise out there. I am very disappointed in Chet Holmgren, who's one of EJ's favorites. Chet Holmgren's 23 years old, so he's not that young. He is coming up. He came up really small in the fourth quarter against Indiana. He got his butt kicked by Miles Turner. Miles Turner blocked his shot regularly. He does this thing. Chet panics and starts dribbling, and it never goes anywhere good. He tries some weird pirouette shot off of one leg. He was very disappointing in the fourth quarter to me. He's a major trade asset in my mind. 23, I think if Giannis is really on the trade market, if Oklahoma City Thunder wanted him, Chet Holmgren and draft picks for Giannis seems like it would blow any other package out of the water. If you're the Thunder, do you think that, hey, we're not that close unless we get another superstar, or do you ride this out with the existing core?
I doubt that Sam Presti would trade Chet Holmgren. I see all of the things that you see, had the same shrugs and disappointments and grunts in Game 3 in particular, when Miles Turner, who we found out was sick afterwards, was still roughing up Chet Holmgren. And you can't not think about the bigger picture of he's always going to be running into bigger dudes during his NBA career.
That's true.
So will he ever be able to survive those encounters and be the more physically imposing player in a big spot? But I can't fathom a world, even with Giannis, but maybe he's the lone exception. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that they would make a move like that.
So, EJ, is this trade even remotely possible? Because I know the money will not work out at all. Giannis is in the max world. Chet's, I don't think he's gotten paid like that yet. Could the Thunder find a way to trade for Giannis if they really wanted to?
Well, since Maggie's not here. Well, since Maggie's not here, let's go to the trade machine that she hates so much.
She hates a trade machine?
Oh, yes. We have three things on this where we want to put a trade machine up. She's like, we're not doing trade machines on the show, but what? She's not here, so.
I love the trade machine.
I know.
Go.
That's exactly what you told her.
Well, you need the trade machine to understand all of the dumb NBA rules.
I understand. She just didn't want to talk hypothetical trades. She thought it was boring. Anyway, so if you were going to do a trade like this, it's going to be very tricky because Chet only makes about $13 million.
Right.
And Thunder don't have a lot of guys who are expensive.
Because the thing is, he and Jalen don't get paid until like 26, 27.
Correct.
It's like Hartenstein is a bigger contract.
Correct.
Yeah.
So to make this work, you're going to almost definitely have to add Hartenstein. So I'm talking about Hartenstein, Chet. Then you got to add another 11 to 12 million. So I added Isaiah Joe to this trade.
Oh, I hate
and then what
Isaiah
Joe. And then what I did was you're going to add draft capital. So I did a 2025 pick, a 2025 pick, because they have two, they have three this year. I gave them two. I gave them a 2026 pick that is the 1 through 4 protected that's going to the Sixers that they will have if it doesn't land in the top four next year. And I gave him a 2028 first-round pick. And that would be four picks, Holmgren, Hartenstein, and Joe for Giannis. That would work according to NBA CBA rules.
By the way, the Thunder.
And by the way, just as a projection, Fanspo says this would add one win total to the Thunder and minus one to the Bucks. So it suggests that it's not a killer for the Bucks.
You know, it's interesting because the Thunder lost out of the lottery. They almost got a top pick this year. The Sixers, I think it was the Sixers landed in the top three and screwed the Thunder over, so they could have had even more draft capital. Here's the thing, and EJ, I want you to stand up for your guy, Chet Holmgren.
Sure.
Karl Anthony Towns, the New York Knicks center, who is being lambasted in this town on a daily basis, kicked Miles Turner's butt. Like, if he got him one-on-one, it was a bucket.
No,
now, Chet
sure.
Holmgren can't take Miles Turner. He should be so. Miles Turner's not fast. Chet Holmgren should be able to take that dude. And he got just stuffed by him again and again and again.
Well, Chet's a young. I mean, you said 23 is not young. That's not true. 23 is very young. This is his first experience deep into the playoffs.
Yep.
And he was really great in the first half. He was dominating Miles Turner earlier to start this game. Yeah, the end of the game didn't work out. He's not a closer. Like, to me, that was the issue with the game was, to me, they were going to the Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams show when it needed to be the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander show. He's 23 years old. He's still a big-time defensive player. Mm-hmm. I would not trade Chet Holmgren. I would try to trade Jalen Williams if I was going to do either or. I would put Chet and Giannis together because defensively that is a hellacious front line. At that point, you don't need Hartenstein as much. So I would do Williams before I do Chet because to me, Chet is more of the unicorn. I could find – Jalen Williams is nice. I really like Jalen Williams, but I could find another 6'7 scorer. You're not going to find 7'1 guys that can shoot threes, go coast to coast, and be that active defensively.
If you put Jalen in that trade right now, what would the win projection be?
That's a great question. I'll do that standby.
By the way, I love that Chet Holmgren is still young at 23, but Anthony Edwards is a major disappointment at 23 because he hasn't won a final.
He's an older – it's a different 23.
Yeah, because Chet missed
a year. He's almost 24.
Yeah, he turned. Anthony turns in August. We'll see where Chet turns.
Ooh, you remember Maggie's hot take? How Chet wasn't a rookie because he was hanging around for a year.
Well, that was sort of the Joel Embiid
right
missing a season and yeah, being
she
the rookie
to ensure that that Perloff was going to San Diego. By the way, if you put Jalen Williams instead of Chet Holmgren, that trade would work because the Thunder have a trade exception of $7 million. So they have a little bit of wiggle room.
And what's the win change? Does it say that?
Good question. So the win change, ironically, the Bucks wins go up by 5.
Really?
The Thunder become a team 5 wins worse than they were.
Really?
It's funny. I think
Jalen Williams is a more impactful player.
I'm starting to get Maggie's anti-trade machine talk. This has actually been pretty dry. it's good when you give me the basic, can the trade happen? But then we're getting in the weeds a little bit here. And you haven't even mentioned a third team, EJ. You could probably do another half hour on that.
It's just a bad idea.
But you were... You're not far off in that they again have decisions to make here because with aprons and taxes and these young guys getting older, at some point, maybe they do have to trade one of those guys. Or I was reading this morning, like Hartenstein has there's a team option at some point. Like they're going to have to basically get rid of him to be able to pay for Chet and Jalen Williams. They want to keep both of them. So it might not be a trade this summer as a reaction to losing these finals. But when we talk about what the Thunder might be over a 3 or 4 or 5 year span, this is not going to be the same roster going through that entire window.
Yeah.
They may need to make a major move to make all the financials fit.
Absolutely. But if you're the Thunder and you lose a series, you were 68-14 and set the all-time win differential.
Yeah.
I would think there's a lot of logic to keeping that core together. But what happened to Isaiah Hartenstein in Game 3? Why was he watching rebounds go left or right? He almost lost, looked like he had the flu or something. He was terrible in that game. So I think that Oklahoma City Thunder, if they do lose a series, a big, big if, they could easily come back and win. They're really going to have to do some self-evaluation. What do you think? Give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Is it panic time for the Oklahoma City Thunder? I compared them, folks, to the 2015 Warriors. I thought they were about to go on this run because they're the best defensive team I've seen in forever. No team creates turnovers like they do, but somehow the Pacers became the defensive juggernaut overnight, and it's almost like a role reversal. I know the Pacers like this fast pace, but no team Thunder should not be losing the turnover battle in any given game. That's their specialty.
Yeah,
they have Lou Dort, for God's
sake. Right, and they should not be down 2-1 with two of the first three games being on their home floor. And I think most of it still is just physical mistakes, physical, matchups on the court. But again, from the mental side with the Pacers, like I think living in this beautiful like ignorance, I think the Thunder are feeling the finals more than the Pacers.
Yeah, pressure. And I think that really, sorry, EJ, you were saying?
Oh, no, sorry, go ahead.
Well, also, I feel like that's happening in the Stanley Cup final, too. I felt like the Panthers kind of, for some reason, even though they're defending champions, felt the pressure. It's just so hard to deliver that knockout blow. And EJ, I know you like the Pacers. Like, are they, if it really comes to shove, can they deliver that knockout blow? I think, Bogues, you think they don't even know they have to. They're just out there
playing.
They're
just going to do it by accident if they have to.
But I think it's hard. I mean, listen, we are discounting the Thunder. It's going to be hard to finish this team.
It will. And look, I think you talk about the 2015 Warriors. That's why I wanted to jump in here because they went 2-1 to the Cavs in that first year. That 2015 year, that was supposed to be LeBron playing with no Kevin Love and no Kyrie Irving. And you thought, well, this is going to be tough for the Cavs. And you had Matthew Dellavedova basically needing an IV chasing around Steph Curry. But it was kind of similar. They were just giving crazy effort. LeBron was all over the place and it made it tough. And it looked like the Warriors were in trouble, but then they won the next three games. So maybe this is where this series is going. This is a young team that is on that track to be a dynasty, and they're just figuring it out, going against a team that is relentless. But I think the Pacers have shown, again, they did it to the Knicks, they did it to the Cavs, they did it to the Bucks 2 years in a row. Like I think that they've shown that you can't expect them to lose the game. They're not going to blow it. You're going to have to beat them. And that's where I think it's going to be a great test for the Thunder because we're really going to see what this young team is made of.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to see how this plays out. I think a lot of people have the Thunder winning game 4 and evening the series. Honestly, even though the Pacers look so good in game 3, but I don't think that's a given. I don't know. It just feels like this. Most people think he saw back and forth. I'm very curious about game 4.
Well, I joked about it yesterday during an update. Neither one of these teams loses back-to-back games.
Yeah.
It had the Thunder lost back-to-back games at the end of the regular season that didn't matter, and they were basically on cruise control already locking up number one. So the last time they've lost back-to-back, like, meaningful actual games is November. And for the Pacers, they've won their last 10 games after a loss, including game three. So what gives tonight? If that pattern continues, it's 2-2. But if the Pacers figure things out, then they're in the driver's seat for real at 3-1.
Yeah, by the way, Thunder 6-point favorites tonight. They were 5.5 in the last game, so people really expect it to go back. I cannot wait. We'll get to updates in 1 second. I have a weird weekend. It's Father's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Early happy Father's Day. My wife is out of town. Her best friend's birthday is in California. So I am alone in the house with the kids.
Okay.
Not much celebration for Father's Day, but oh my God, I cannot wait to sit on the couch and watch that game tonight and not have to worry about my wife coming in and saying, hey, can I just check out my show for 5 minutes? Can you go upstairs?
Now, should we all watch together, like on Zoom or something, as a Manny birthday party?
Oh, yes. I would love to do that. Is that your worst nightmare, Manny?
Sounds like an awful idea.
But your main screen will be on video games.
Exactly, yes.
You're not going out? It's your birthday tonight?
Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Well, it's TBD.
Happy
we'll
birthday,
thank,
by the way.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I offered yesterday to go find like some mimosas at 10:30 this morning, and Manny was like, what does that mean? As if we couldn't find alcohol in Manhattan.
On a Friday?
Yeah, on any day.
On a Friday?
On Christmas, on Easter, on Thanksgiving?
Data ends in Y.
Yeah.
Listen, I just wanted to give my liver a little break. That's all that it is.
It's your birthday.
A break for a couple hours?
Break for a couple of hours.
8 hours, you're going to be hammered.
Hey, you're not wrong.
You know who likes to party? Peter Schwartz.
I've heard that.
Nah, not really.
You don't like to party?
You don't like the nightlife?
Not much. I'm kind of a boring guy.
All right.
I did birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, weddings.
So pizza for tonight. Yeah. Let's go. Fire up the Zoom.
But all right.
Not mimosas, though.
All right. That's fine. Whatever. Bring your own.
If Manny came up to you in the hallway and said, hey, it's my birthday tonight, Peter, can you take me out? Like, what would your dream night be? Like, how would you celebrate Manny's birthday if you were in charge?
I'll take him to a Long Island Ducks game.
Okay.
I'd be down for some baseball.
That actually would work.
Yeah.
Baseball?
I love baseball.
Okay. Didn't even know what the Long Island Ducks were. I thought it might be a minor league hockey team.
They used to be a minor league hockey team. Now they're a minor league baseball team.
Okay. So wait, did they take the same players and put them on skates?
No.
How'd that work?
The Long Island Ducks went away when the Islanders arrived.
Okay.
Because they were a minor league team, and then the NHL gave Long Island a real team, so they disbanded.
And then the baseball team took the name?
Took the name years later.
Wow. There you go. Okay. Well, that'd be a fun night.
I think Danny would have fun at that.
You want to go to the Ducks game, Pearl?
I would love to. I think minor league baseball games are a blast. I don't drink, but I do know a lot of beer is partaken at a minor league baseball game, right?
I like beer.
Yeah.
But I think you'd rather watch the basketball game tonight.
I'm going to watch the basketball game.
Yeah.
It's 2025. We can watch it on our phones.
You know,
on Zoom.
I would hate to steal from my former show, the Dan Patrick Show, but they had a guy, my friend Dylan, who did a 9-9 challenge. 9-9-9 challenge.
Sure, yeah.
Oh.
This is a thing? I didn't know about it until I saw the video the other day.
Oh, you're not familiar with the 9-9-9?
I'm not.
Manny, why don't you explain?
Well, there's 9 innings in a baseball game.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and consume 9 hot dogs and 9 beers in those 9 innings?
Do you think you could pull that off?
Absolutely not. I can only down 2 beers during 8-9 innings. What makes you think I could down 9 in 9 innings?
I think I could have 9 hot dogs.
You can only down 2 beers in 9 innings?
I get full, man. Plus, I'm eating those chicken tendies at the Yankee games.
No.
That
fills
me up.
No tendies.
Why not? If I'm going to a Yankee game, I'm going to get some tendies.
Because you're doing the 9-9-9 challenge. You can't waste space on chicken
tenders.
That's
why I don't do the 9-9-9 challenge, because I want my tendy bucket.
Do us a favor.
Doing the 5-2.
Put the tenders to the side for this experiment, and you're just drinking beers and eating hot dogs.
You want me to spend $70 on a Yankee ticket?
No, I'm sending you in. I'm sending you in. Don't worry about that. It's literally, can you physically do 9 beers and 9 hot dogs in 9 innings?
Okay, fine. You'll pay for my ticket into Yankee Stadium. Who's going to pay for my hospital bill when I have to get my stomach pumped?
That's off. That's not me. Maybe Maggie.
God, you are so lame. Dude, you're turning 28. You know you should be at a stretch limo with Cristal and going to table service. You're like, I can't drink 2 beers in 9 innings? You are lame.
That's why I drink whiskey. You have 9 of those? That's not as filling. You get 9 of those, you're absolutely a blit. You know what I mean?
All right, Peter Schwartz, on that note, got some headlines for us?
I did 7 hot dogs when I did the contest with Mraz that night on the DA show.
God bless.
Oh, okay.
I thought I would be able to do more than seven, but
how long? How long did it take?
It was probably about 5 or 7 minutes.
You know what that means, Bo?
Ooh, that's a lot.
You're not downing nine dogs.
That's it. It's hard.
That's much, but that's over 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that was a speed competition. It's a little different.
I'm built for longevity.
Oh, excuse me.
I gotta tell you, nine beers in a 2.5 hour span, that seems possible. I mean, you'd be hammered. A lot of bathroom trips, long line at City Field.
I feel like your stomach would just explode.
Yeah,
it's so, you'd be so bloated.
That's all. Exactly. I'm trying to.
That's why you drink hard liquor.
That's why you drink hard liquor. You get drunker quicker, and you don't feel as filling. Filled.
This is our future, Perloff. Mm-hmm. This is who's in charge of this place once we're gone.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm. I remember a story. Chris Mullin used to drink. You know, and he famously talked about stopping. He used to drink a case a night. Just sitting there. Get home at 9 o'clock and drink a case. That's 24 beers between 9 and 12. And you can't do 9 beers in 9 innings. Sad, sad. All right, Schwartz, give us a
pathetic.
All right, Riddle sponsored by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com.
And Tequila.
An epic game 4 of the Stanley Cup final last night in Florida. Panthers jump out to a 3-0 lead after the first period. Oilers come back with 3 in the second to tie the game. Jake Woolman scores in the third to give the Oilers a 4-3 lead. But then Sam Reinhart sends the game into overtime with a goal with 20 seconds to go in regulation. And then
Florida makes the long change. Breaking free is Draisaitl to the net. Score! Leon Draisaitl has tied the series with his 4th OT winner in the playoffs.
That is a new NHL record. Sounds like Jack Michaels had to go to the bathroom right after that on Oilers radio, and the Oilers beat the Panthers 5-4 in overtime. The Stanley Cup final even at 2 games apiece. Draisaitl scoring the winner at 11:18. So the Oilers showed perseverance.
I think that's once again tells you that our group never quits, right? Like, I think we believe that no matter how bad it is, if we get over that hump of adversity, you know, we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep coming. We're going to keep coming. And eventually it'll break.
Now, Perloff thinks Draisaitl is a handsome guy.
Oh, yeah.
On top of being an excellent hockey player. We need Maggie for this, but maybe somebody else listening can help. I need a ruling on the German accent. I know ladies like accents, but where does the German twang land on the list of sexy accents?
Well, I mean, have you heard German people speak German? It sounds like in a very aggressive language.
Yeah, but now in English with
Deutschland.
Straight German is not audibly a pretty language.
No. Well, I got to tell you though, Maggie does like her hockey players though. Have you ever heard her talk about Lundqvist?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. She actually drools. Like, she almost shorted out the board.
Have you
she
heard was talking me about talk about Rick DiPietro, former Islanders goalie?
Oh, my gosh. The group text about, what, did you see him at a Little League baseball
game? Yeah, he was coaching a team against my son, and, the moms on our team wanted to take the kids to his team.
Understandable. Very understandable.
I don't know. I'm looking at pictures of Draisaitl. I think Pearl may have overstated this.
Well, he came out. I'm not saying he's so good looking. He's like,
Kenan said he's a stud. Not that you were talking about hockey.
Right.
He's a badass. He was at the press conference after the game. And he had this cut. He was literally bleeding half his face, and his hair was really cool.
That's so sexy.
And he had a beard. Like, it was like, I'm like, man, that is such a tough hockey dude. I'm sorry.
Is that weak by me?
Yeah, of course. I mean, these guys just went out there on skates and murdered each other for how many minutes? I don't know how long the game went. And he get out there. Yeah, I think hockey players are cool.
Draisaitl, great player. He is no Henry Lundqvist.
No.
And I'm not talking about Lundqvist's goaltending abilities.
I love me some Hank.
I'm telling you, I know some NHL players. They do not struggle like Manny does in the bar scene.
No.
I guess you're right. So Leon Draisaitl is not Lundqvist. Big deal. That doesn't mean that he's not doing just fine. The guy scored the game winner last night. What else you want from him?
I wanted to talk hockey, and then Perloff said, why would I want to do that? I was talking about his... I know he's a stud. I know that part. I'm just looking at... I'm trying to compare him to Henry Lundqvist. That's the GOAT. There's no one better.
Okay.
In hockey?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot... Here's the thing. There's a long history of hockey. You're just stuck in New York in the last 30 years.
You want to give me a Sergei Fedorov? Like, I got a bag.
Well, I'm just saying there are a lot of hockey players who've dated the most gorgeous women in the world, starting with the great one. Who is, you know, honestly, I love my wife.
Gretzky's very handsome.
If Janet had been available.
Well, but like, you do gotta, there is like a calculus of the pockets too. with some of these guys.
But hockey? I think guys, I mean, honestly, if you're a supermodel, hockey is not where you go for the money, right? Bogues, the salaries are a fraction of the other sports.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously making a lot of money.
Compared to a normal person.
Yeah.
Or Carol Alt was married Gresher, to Ron Gresher.
Right.
But then now is with Alexei Yashin.
Who I've seen recently and isn't a handsome guy.
Yeah, and I don't think Ron Gresher was necessarily a looker, but...
Not Lundqvist.
All right, fine. Sorry, just because Henrik Lundqvist is handsome doesn't mean other hockey players
can't be handsome.
I don't
want to hear about Lundqvist anymore either, because my wife talks about him all the time. I'd rather not listen
to Ranger. He'd rather listen about Rick DiPietro.
That's more his cup of tea.
Yeah, that's more what he likes, yes.
All right, Schwartz, got anything else?
Really quick, game four of the NBA Finals tonight. Pacers lead the Thunder 2-1. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle said his team is facing an uphill battle.
We have a real good handle on the depth of it.
The magnitude of the challenge with Oklahoma City is daunting because of the kind of year that they had and how great they are. I mean, they're historically great in so many different areas, and they got the MVP.
And that would be SGA and tip-off tonight, 8:30 Eastern time.
Thank you, Peter. All right. I wrote a little thing yesterday, Bogus, that seemed to make people really mad. It turns out there's a lot of hate out there for Zach Wilson. I didn't know this.
You don't know this? I'm right here, buddy.
I'm like living in the central location of Zach Wilson hate. The only hate for him is in New York.
No, the rest of the country is like, Zach Wilson? I think that there are possibly two or three major surprises at quarterback around the NFL. We'll get into that next. Maggie and Perlo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Show. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie is out today. Andrew Bogus filling in. All right. Bogues, if I told you at this time last year that Sam Darnold, former New York Jet, former Carolina Panther, former 49er, was going to throw 35 touchdowns, throw for 4,300 yards plus, and win 14 games, what would you have said back to me?
No.
Right.
Hard pass.
So I think what Darnold did last year opens up the possibility that we're going to see other quarterbacks who were once highly touted, high draft picks, who just landed in the wrong place who could have a career resurgence. I think that Darnold model, which is a very talented guy with tools who's just in the wrong place, could exist. And I'll give you five names.
Okay.
You ready?
Five.
Yep.
That's a lot.
There's going to be a lot of hate because there's some Giants fans in here, but I'm going to start with Daniel Jones. The word out of Indianapolis Colts camp is great. Everyone seems to like Daniel Jones. We know that incumbent starter Anthony Richardson has a shoulder injury. He's dealing with that. I think Daniel Jones fits Coach Shane Steichen's offense. So Shane Steichen really sort of made Jalen Hurts.
Right.
He needs a big mobile guy who has arm strength. And Daniel Jones has fine tools. There's nothing wrong with the physical tools of Daniel Jones. He's just a bit of a slow processor. Like he has trouble. He holds on the ball too long. I think with a different coach, maybe Daniel Jones has a chance to be okay. And I want to hear from birthday boy and Giants fan Manny on this. And you're a Giants fan too. I forget because there's so many Jets fans in my life that I can't keep track.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible, but this is the same thing I'd say about Sam Darnold. I don't know that it's possible to do it for 4, 5, or 6 years. So like Daniel Jones might walk into a good year in Indianapolis, right circumstances, playing half their games indoors, which we said about, I mean, and Darnold last year, even their road games were indoors.
Yes, I know. So that was...
It was very helpful.
But, Daniel Jones, not only is he indoors, he's playing the AFC South.
Right.
Texans have a good defense, but the Jags defense was terrible last year, and the Titans defense has not been good.
So, yes, there is a good season inside Daniel Jones. Whether he lets it happen, whether Anthony Richardson's shoulder lets it happen, whether Shane Steichen makes it happen, that I don't know. But yes, I think Daniel Jones is capable of having a good 2025.
Okay, number two. Here's where we're going to get in some trouble. Zach Wilson, backup Miami Dolphins.
Next.
He's going to play. He has talent. I heard the head coach, Mike McDaniel, talking about him, and he said, listen, this guy has been in the worst situations possible.
Yeah.
Basically, he said he came up in a time, he was implying the Jets really messed with this guy. But, you know, he got through it, and then he got to Denver, did not play, but Sean Payton said nice things. I've seen the highlights again from minicamp and OTAs. Guy's got the arm. That's not the problem.
No, the arm is not the problem. And I will say this. All of these guys who I think you're going to mention,
yeah,
coaches say nice things about them, and then they let the guy leave the building.
Well, yeah.
So, what matters?
Well, I'll tell you.
Because he's not a Bronco anymore. So Sean Payton, whoever he says about him, what actually counts here?
Kyle Shanahan compared Sam Darnold to Steve Young.
And then let him go.
But everybody laughed at that.
And then the Vikings were like, you know what? We're good, Sam. Thanks so much. We're going to stick with J.J. McCarthy now.
Right. So, but nobody even saw that 1 year coming. Okay, I'm not asking for a Hall of Fame career out of these guys. I just think it'd be a gigantic surprise if these guys turn their career around. All right, next, New York Jets quarterback Justin Fields. Now, this one's a little trickier. But... Justin Fields is now playing with Tanner Engstrand is his offensive coordinator. He resurrected Jared Goff. He was part of that team. I mean, it might have been more Ben Johnson. But I feel like at least the Jets are committing to Justin Fields. Like, they jumped all over this guy in free agency. They signed him quickly. They outbid the Steelers. I feel like there's some commitment to him, which he never really kind of got in Chicago. Chicago is a mess. Pittsburgh, the offensive coordinator, is terrible. So I feel like Justin Fields has maybe that 1 year in him. EJ, you're a Jets fan. Optimism for Justin Fields?
Optimism, but controlled optimism. I'm not going to go crazy, but I think there's a chance he hits the ceiling that we didn't see in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I think also with his running ability, he's got all the arm on in the world. He is another guy who seems to have trouble letting it rip at times.
This is my favorite so far suggestion from you.
Really?
Justin Fields, yes.
Okay, two more, and we're going to go a little deeper here. Mac Jones in San Francisco. Everyone thinks Mac Jones is terrible, and I get it, but San Francisco is a place where they do surprising things at quarterback through the years.
How did Brock Purdy hurt you?
No. I don't. Brock Purdy's a starter. Like, Mac Jones will never challenge him, but he's a San Francisco 49er, and you know what the 49ers love to do? They love to get injured.
Oh, that's not fair.
Why do you think Brock Purdy is a quarterback? Why do you think Brock Purdy's getting paid $50 million? Do you think that they drafted him as Mr. Irrelevant and said, right, let's get him out there in camp? Everybody
he's
got
already
hurt.
Been hurt. He already finished a championship game with one arm.
Yeah, he's exactly.
And with the wrong arm.
And he's not big. Can't you see Mac Jones getting a shot here? And then Mac Jones running a Kyle Shanahan offense. He is a perfect combination of about six other Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks. If you combine Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins, Matt Schaub, Case Keenum, who played for Kubiak, not Shanahan, but same thing. You would end up with Mac Jones.
Who? I got a poll question for today. Who loves their niche NFL community more?
Perloff.
Perloff and the Niner backup quarterbacks or Manny and punters?
By the way, Nick Mullins hung out with him at a Super Bowl party. One of the great guys in NFL history.
There's your answer. Perloff and the backup QBs.
I mean, you do faint over good punting news.
That's true. I love me a good punter.
Right.
All right, real quick. Sam Howell, Minnesota Vikings. Now, he's not a, like, Darnold first rounder.
I didn't know he was a Viking.
No, I know.
Thanks for that.
I know.
Thanks for that bit of news.
Cut that, because if something happened to J.J. McCarthy, he's had two knee surgery. I'll tell you right now, Sam Howell would go into that team and just rip it up.
Is he the handsome one? I always get confused.
No, that's Sam Hartman.
Right.
But Sam
right.
Howell is also quite handsome, okay. As a matter of fact.
But Sam Hartman's the one fine. That, like, the internet, like, faints over with, like, yes. The flowing hair. And, yes. Okay.
I faint over him, too.
Sam Howell had, like, a million yards at North Carolina. He was supposed to be a high pick, and he fell in the draft. Howell threw for 4,400 yards in today's NFL for Washington. The guy is good.
The Commanders.
Crazy. All right, coming up. We got more NBA trade talk, but let's shift to KD. We'll find the perfect team for Kevin Durant. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.